All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is American Vindicta. I am your host, Doug Thornton, and this is episode 56. I hope you liked last week's interviews with Tim Alberino and Dave Hodges and Bob Griswold. We're going to try to continuously have guests like this make some repeat appearances on the show and try to bring in some others. If I could get Marjorie Taylor Greene on this show, I think I would be giddy as a little girl. But, you know, we'll have to contact her office and see. I don't have any show notes today. I find that every day I become less organized with the more chaos that's happening. I'd like to just give you a preview of what's on my mind, a little bit of a rant, and tell you what's really pissing me off today. And I'm not ashamed to say that word. I'm not ashamed to talk like that. I know many people within the Christian community are, and I'm sure that I let down many people by speaking like that, but I'm still human, and I'm still very, very upset with my government, for which I worked for 14 years for, with the way the economy is going, the way the mask mandates are still happening, the atrocities in terms of anti-freedom that's spreading worldwide. And, you know, our potential next war with Russia, so I have all different types of reasons to be upset. And so do you, America. If you find that right now you can be a peaceful Christian, that you can peacefully sit behind the pew and listen to a peaceful preacher, someone who will give you no emotion, someone who will not tell you the current times, relate it to you through biblical doctrine, give you reasons for why you should be upset that abortion still isn't canceled, for why you should be upset that your laws are betraying you and your lawgivers and your law enforcers, why also that our economy is failing, or our food is poisoned, or the water is poisoned, or there's a new agenda to take down the power grid, Klaus Schwab. Yeah, look that up. Klaus Schwab wants to take down the power grid for multiple countries because, well, you know, it's part of the new Green Deal and we just have too many people on this planet. I do my best to remain a peaceful person. And not too many people know about how it is that I became a Christian. But I was a former heathen. I was a, as some of you may not understand this, or some of you may, I was a Odinist. And that part of that, I guess you could say, spastic religion of worshiping ancient Nordic gods and wanting to go to Valhalla's gates no matter what, seemed very appealing to me in my younger days and to many men out there who just want war and violence because the world won't give them any answers as for why we can't just have peace. So if we can't have peace, then let us just have war and violence. And if that's going to be it, well, then we might as well embrace the most sadistic, savage gods out there, right? That is the way I used to feel. I am not that person anymore. I am bought again in the blood of Christ, thank God. But I will tell you this much: just because I don't pray out to Odin, just because I am a Christian and I pray to Jesus, I denounced all gods and not denounced all that crazy satanic stuff, because more or less that's what it is. If you pray to anything else besides Jesus, it's only helping Satan. it does not mean that I became a peaceful man who refuses to pick up the sword again. Now, when I say that, I want to be very clear. I want to be very careful. I do not promote war. I do not promote violence. But there is a righteousness there that the Bible calls us to. And all you men out there, whether you want to be a part of a war or not, if we go to war with Russia, we will most certainly go to war with China and probably Turkey and many other nations. And we may not have some of our illustrious allies like the Australians, the New Zealands, and the UK back us up. If we pull ourselves into a war with Russia, which is what I'm reading Fox News today, we are within an imminent reach of going to war with Russia. You better expect conflict here. Let me explain it to you. Me and Bob Griswold just got off the phone, and you know, I worked for the government for a while, and, you know, and Bob did the things Bob did, and we both know that in the field of battle, we both know that within the realms of intelligence, that there are certain repercussions for stupid decisions. We have no real tactical reason for why we need to put troops in Ukraine. We can create them, we can give excuse to them, but they're really not an excuse for the war that will be brought to America. They can come at us any way they can. Russia has embedded agents here. Russia has embedded Spetsnaz here. Russia has hacking groups, terrorist groups, from around the world, outside the realms of the Kremlin, who can hack our grid, take down our banking system, interrupt traffic control flights. They can interrupt nuclear power plant processing or gas pipeline processing through the SCADA system, by just sending constant DDoS attacks. Now, this zero-sum game that we are playing with Russia, they still have more nukes than us. They still have the capacity to kick our ass if we try to actually fight them. And it's only through a politician's hubris that would think that there will be no repercussions from getting into a kinetic conflict with Russia. You know who says stuff like that? The people who aren't on the front line. Just like whenever I was in Iraq, and how many different veterans out there that are listening that were in Iraq and Afghanistan and Vietnam or World War II. God bless you all. Thank you all for your service. And don't forget, your service hasn't stopped. Your service ends at death. That's when true duty ends, men of America. And that comes to all of you who were either in the volunteer services or not, or soon to be in the new draft. Because if we go to war with Russia, there's probably going to be a draft. Let me tell you it like this. If we encroach upon Russia's borders, if even one bullet goes over that border towards Moscow, they have the ability to launch something out of the waters of the Pacific or the Atlantic that we cannot stop, that can hit any city it determines to hit. They have the ability to cut the power lines from America to the UK, and also the communications lines through deep underwater submarines. They have the ability, through hacking groups, to take down the grid. And if the grid goes down, how many times do we have to say this? How many times do I have to get up on this soapbox and scream to the top of the heavens that we do not have an answer for a grid down? And you don't have enough food for a grid down, most likely. I don't think I do. You know, we buy a lot of guns. We buy a lot of bullets. I don't think there's that many squirrels out there, guys. Real quick, I'm going to plug a sponsor, Mountain State Survival, mountain-state-survival.com. Please give Jeff's website a look-see, and if you have the ability right now to purchase any life-saving devices, well, I would say one of those should be something that you can help yourself cook your food with. On Jeff's website, he has things in there where you can have the entire camping equipment from pots and pans to a food burner station that runs off of propane canisters. You know, we talk about food all the time, but make sure you have something to cook it in. And you may want to consider that you might not be in your house when you're cooking it. You know, and remember this, ladies and gentlemen, here's a little tip for you. If you have a propane burner and you're out in the woods and you have a decent amount of, I guess you could say, high winds coming through, or if you're in the plains and you have high winds coming through, make sure you get a windscreen of some kind. Typically, the larger, the better. I have found that I've used smaller windscreens to put around the burners, and they're not really as effective. You know, they may be smaller and more portable, but, you know, sometimes, honestly, the bigger ones are just better. And, you know, these are things you can also make yourself. But if you have the need, make sure you have the kit. If you have the kit, make sure you have the right stuff. Don't buy cheap gear. Don't buy make sure whatever food that you're buying, I don't care who it is that you're buying from, you can go through my website, AmericanVindictaShow.com, and go to one of our sponsors, My Patriot Supply, who makes great food. It honestly is probably some of the best food out there that you can buy, just to be real with you. But taste the food, because you may need some salt. You may want some pepper. You may need some Tabasco sauce, because you start eating really bland food, and it's going to bring you down. So make sure you have the proper cooking utensils, the proper cooking remedies that are in there, so that, you know, you can give yourself a little upbeat after a day of raiding or searching or whatever it is that you crazy people plan on doing during the post-apocalyptic America, because that's where we're headed. We're headed to post-apocalyptic America, ladies and gentlemen. The Record Chronicles is going to show you a little bit of that. God, I really need to get onto this the videoing of this and finishing some screens, screenwritings. This is a new challenge for me, and I don't want to give too much away with it. But you know, I am not a cinematographer. I am not a screenwriter. But it this stuff's hard. You know, the editing is extremely hard. And hopefully I'll have a few friends of mine that can help me out with this, but the Record Chronicles is going to be something, I think, it's going to be short little TV or TV series, movie series, clips, whatever they call them, that are going to put you as a Christian or, you know, just as an American in some real life futuristic disasters, you know, to the best of my ability that I can do this. And honestly, it's going to be a way to just make you think, you know, make you think about some things that you typically haven't been thinking about, throw you in some scenarios that you may not be considering. And I think you're going to like it. It's going to come from a Christian point of view. I want you to be prepared. So, you know, just however it is that you got to do it. If you need to go to Walmart or Dollar General and buy your preparedness items, go do it. I have sponsors, and if you buy anything through my website, especially for my Patriot Supply, then I do get a commission sale off of that. So it does help, you know, fund the program and everything that comes into this program. And just again, thank you to everyone out there who has been donating. It is truly heartwarming. You bring a little tear to my eye whenever I see someone gives me $10 of their hard-earned money. And look, I'm not standing here with my hand out. If you don't feel convicted to donate to this show, or if you need to buy food or water or put that $10 in an envelope, not touch it, do it. God will provide for me. God will provide for my family. God will provide for what I'm doing. He has been. My God is so good. He has not let me down, no matter how many times I have tried to infuriate the Father. He has never forgotten His Son. So, thank you to everyone who writes me. If you haven't noticed, if you write an email to me, I will write you back. I guess that's something that you don't see with too many of these, the people who own radio shows or, you know, whatever it is, little mini celebrities that they want to call themselves. That's damn sure not what I am. I'm just a guy sitting in a spare room of his house on a farm yelling into a microphone. I had to move a bunch of baby chickens out of here, a bunch of chicks out of my room. I just had a whole new shipment of chicks come in, and it's really cold here. We just recently had a little snowstorm, so I can't, you know, be putting them outside. And so they've been in here, and I had originally started recording, and I forgot I have these little peep, 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 peepers in the background. And that wouldn't make for good radio, so I had to stop what I was doing, delete this previous recording, and start over and move my chickens. So, you know, if you have a similar lifestyle and you feel like sharing it, send me an email. It's a good life when you live on a farm, man. It's a good thing to watch the kids smile and play with the animals, you know. My kids don't have tablets. They don't have Nintendos or Game Boys or PlayStations or Xboxes. They don't have any of that crap. They got animals. You know, half the time, especially during the summer, I have to worry about, you know, my favorite game that my kids like to play with me every now and then, which is, Daddy, what kind of snake is this? So, you know, that's what country kids deal with. And I do strongly suggest that if you don't live in the country, or if you, you know, you live out there in these horrific cities that the Democrats are in, I implore you to leave. I really do. I'm not gonna tell you that you need to. I implore you to pray on it. Let God give you that decision. Ask God to confirm it through strangers or through family members. Don't tell anybody. Just pray on it and say, God, I want you to confirm this with three other people that I need to leave, and show me where I need to go. And just have faith. Honestly, that's something that me and my wife did. When we're probably still going to move, and I'm way out in the county, and I still feel like I'm too close to society. And we're going to go to a break, and I'm going to share with you a quick story. And we're going to read two articles. One's from Fox News, and one is from News with Views, which is a terrific website with great authors. If you want some really, really good content, especially as a Christian, and you're worried about preparedness, or you like politics, or you like hearing doomsday-style kind of stuff, but you want an actual, I guess you could say, an actual real message from a Christian, go to News with Views. That's probably one of the best places I happen to go to. We're going to go to our first break, and then we'll be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
All right, welcome back. This is American Vindicta. So, last week, we had a tragedy in New York. There was a NYPD detective that was shot and killed in the line of duty. And to me, that is a very heartbreaking thing to deal with. And to make matters worse, Joe Biden, who happens to currently still be the president, for now, shows up and I guess it's at the funeral for part of the eulogy, starts to run his mouth about guns. He said that the gun that was used was a Glock with a 40-round magazine. Now, I'm sure he misread what he said. He was probably talking about a Glock 40 or a 40 caliber Glock, which would either be like a 17 or a 22 or a 27. But a 40-round magazine? Joe, they don't make 40-round magazines. Last time I checked, and I check a lot, I was issued a Glock for 10 years, and I have all different types of magazines. 33-round stick mags, 22-round stick mags. I haven't heard of a 40. So if you're gonna run your mouth about taking my guns, Joe, at least be somewhat accurate. But then he said that this gun shouldn't be allowed to be on our streets because it is a weapon of war. Which I really had to laugh. It's a weapon of war. Is that right, Joe? Is that why almost all of your Secret Service either has a SIG P320 or some sort of a Glock variant or a Glock? If it was a weapon of war, why do most law enforcement departments go with it? If it was a weapon of war, why is it one of the most widely bought handguns in the world? What a weapon of war is a fighter jet. A weapon of war is a battleship or a submarine. A weapon of war is a tank. Even though by the Constitution, Joe, if I wanted to own one, damn it, I can. There are Americans in this country who do own tanks. There is an American in this country who does own, I think, his own F-15 or F-18. When I hear politicians talk to me, want to preach to me about how they want to save me and my family and our country from gun violence, maybe, Joe, it's not gun violence. Maybe we have a violent culture. Guns are just a tool, Joe, like you. They're just a tool. And part of this problem with violence, it happens to do with the music industry and Hollywood. But a lot of it also, Joe, happens to do with your Democratic fellows who will gladly deplatform, defund police, who will then use police in the wrong way, making the rest of the country not like us. Thanks, Joe. And then, whenever the police catch the bad guy, you idiots will tell the Democratic George Soros bought and paid for attorneys and DAs and United States attorneys or judges to then let them go, not charge them with anything. So what's a fella to do, Joe? You know what we do? We arm ourselves. We arm ourselves because obviously there's not enough law enforcement out there to combat every crime. And obviously, people just aren't going to follow the law. Isn't that strange, Joe? If we just made crime illegal, it would stop overnight. How about this one, Mr. President? Instead of taking guns away from people, how about you not allow the murderer to post bail? Why is it that a murderer or a gangbanger can immediately bond out? Immediately bond out. And it's only in these Democratic cities, honestly. you know, it's in your New York, it's in your Los Angeles, well, all of the West Coast. I'm not even going to say a city at this point. All of the West Coast. All of the East Coast. Except for Florida. Yeah, go ahead and go screw up in Florida, see what happens. You'll be just another Florida man. I can't talk too much cop lingo because then some of y'all may not understand. Florida man is always the guy who, you know, who's on the midnight news. Florida man chases down an alligator with a lawnmower. You know, it's always that guy. Let me give you some history, Joe, because I'm sure you listen to the show. I'm sure you have someone who listens to the show, Joe, who tells you all of Doug's notes, who tells you how great my show is. I'm even going to spit out my Copenhagen just so I don't choke on myself as I start to scream. Listen to me, Mr. President, because Wrecker's going to give you a little bit of a history lesson. School is in session. How about this one? What was Thomas Jefferson's comments on gun ownership? Let's just go over a few quotes and some facts. Here's a quote from Thomas Jefferson to William Stephen Smith in 1787 from the Federalist Papers. Thomas Jefferson said, "What country can preserve its liberties if its rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms." In a letter wrote to James Madison, quote, "No free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms." And he doesn't mean big masculine arms, Joe. He means guns. And back then, guns also meant cannons. Cannons, Joe. Not just muskets, not just flintlocks. Cannons. Oh, and by the way, a privateer. So a ship with cannons on it. Which, by the way, privateers were used in, the Battle of New Orleans against the British, where we actually hired, who is it, James Lafitte, I think. We hired James Lafitte and his privateer to bombard the British. So, you know, I'm not telling anyone out there to go and take your cruise ship that has your giant, beautiful Trump flag on it and throw cannons on it. I'm just saying, like, there's a loophole you can do that if we still have a constitution. As long as you're not breaking city ordinance, because that is the overall law of this country, right? How about this quote? "I think that upon the whole, the number of casualties suffered by the colonials has been about one half the number lost by them. In some instances, more, but in others, less. The difference is ascribed to our superiority in taking aim when we fire. Every soldier in our army having been intimate with his gun from his infancy." That is a letter from Thomas Jefferson to Giovanni Fabbroni, which is an Italian naturalist and economist. How many of that statement relate to you? I know it relates to me, having been intimate with your firearm since infancy. I was raised around guns. From the time I could pull the trigger and take the kick, I was shooting them. I was hunting. I was tracking game, skinning deer. You know, a lot of it was tracking. Thank God my dad and my grandfather taught me that. But, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there, good old boys raised on their guns. You know, when you have people who go complete tyrannical, and they think they can just take the guns from us and just, you know, overwhelm us, that they think they can just take over this country. Good luck. Bonne chance. Good luck, Joe. It's never worked out for anybody, except for in those stupid cities where people will just willfully give their guns to, you know, to law enforcement or to the government. It ain't going to happen, not in today's America. Anyways, Thomas Jefferson writes in a letter to his nephew, Peter Carr, quote, "A strong body makes the mind strong. As to the species of exercises, I advise the gun. While this gives moderate exercise to the body, it gives boldness, enterprise, and independence to the mind. Games played with the ball and others of that nature are too violent for the body and stamp no character on the mind. Let your gun, therefore, be your constant companion of your walks." It's a good advice to a young man when they ask you, what should I invest in? You should probably invest in guns. While you can, there'll be a commodity eventually. A gun will probably be worth as much as a Mercedes in 10, 15 years from now. Just wait till they start banning ammo, restricting ammo. Just wait till you can't. You know what I'm waiting on? And Bob Griswold and I were talking about this. I'm waiting for the credit card companies to start saying you can't buy guns with our credit cards, or banks saying that you can't purchase firearms with our credit cards, or ammunition. Yeah, I'm just waiting on that one now. In his commonplace book from 1776, Thomas Jefferson cited the words of Cesar Beccari from his seminal work on Crimes and Punishments, which was published in 1764, quoted that laws that forbid the carrying of arms disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. They serve rather to encourage than to prevent homicides, for an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man. From 1764, and there are still people who do not think that that applies today. It's even more dangerous than it ever has been. You're honestly probably safer walking through certain portions of Afghanistan than you are New York, D.C., Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles, maybe a few places on the southwestern border, or Chicago. I don't know if I said that already, but you're probably safer in war-torn nations than you are in some of our own places in America. Hey, go to Baltimore at night. Go to Baltimore at night. Go downtown. Tell me how you feel about it. In a letter wrote to John Cartwright from Jefferson, he stated that the Constitution of most of our states and of the United States assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed. At all times armed. Any discussion, I'm going to go on a tangent here for a second. Any discussion of the Bill of Rights must first include the reminder of the purpose if the bill as stated in the document itself. The conventions of a number of states, having at the time of their adopting the Constitution, expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. Now, let me add a few questions which will give you an idea of his feelings of an armed populace. Jefferson is quoted saying, "We must train and classify the whole of our male citizens and make military instruction a regular part of collegiate education. We can never be safe till this is done." Thomas Jefferson to James Monroe in 1813. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine going to college and instead of, underwater basket weaving being one of your electives, or whatever the latest debauchery of learning is, could you imagine being taught on how to properly handle a firearm? How to properly secure a firearm? Being taken out to the range and shown proper marksmanship? Being well-armed and, more importantly, being well-trained on how to use the arms. Jefferson believed that that would make our country as a whole much safer. Much safer from what, though? Safer from criminals? Surely. Safer from a tyrannical government? Well, obviously, that's what the Declaration of Independence was talking about. That's what the Constitution talks about. And the Bill of Rights ensures it. That we have a separation, that we tell the government what laws and rights they absolutely cannot break. Though they do it every day. But what about outside influence? What about a invasion upon America? Does having a well-armed, well-trained populace, does that not only influence others around the world as to why not to invade, but if we had a strategic catastrophic loss of armed servicemen due to whatever nefarious means, nuclear war, biological war, war that sent our men and women overseas and then could not quickly respond as a quick reactionary force back to the mainland, having that armed population of youthful men is a way to quickly gather the militias and to thwart any type of invasion. Now, even within, a militia was not a National Guard. That was the democratic way, that was the politician's way to control the militias. A militia is not the National Guard. Militias do not get DOD personal identification cards. National Guardsmen do. The militia was any able-bodied, free-spirited man unifying themselves through esprit de corps, coming together under arms, brothers in arms, to fight against an evil that has rose up and needs to quickly be vanquished. That's where our Minutemen come from. That's where our idea of the national response force of the militias comes from. But they cannot be controlled. And because they cannot be controlled or regulated, our politicians don't want it to happen. They don't want you to have them. And if you're a part of a militia of any kind, they will send in their federal agents or state agents to infiltrate and to even, for some strange reason, set up nefarious, I want to be careful as I say this, nefarious crimes to be committed in order to only inflame what a militia looks like to the average stupid American who doesn't want their gun, who I guess, you know, Americans even at this point say that their dogs can change gender. All of these things are meant to confuse. They're all meant to confound. They're all meant to pit people against one another. And eventually, people are not even going to, they're not even going to be able to understand that they at one point had rights. God help us the day we lose our rights. God help us the day we refuse to fight for them. Because if we refuse to fight for them, then we didn't deserve them. I think there's too many Americans who are more than willing not just to get in their big rigs and go cross country to hawk for their freedom, which is just a brilliant, I love it. I love watching this happen in Canada. We always want a peaceful demonstration. Our redress of grievances should always, for the most part, remain as peaceful as possible. Don't worry for the violence. The government will bring it to you. We can almost be assured of that now. But one day when we don't have the laws to protect us, they won't have the laws to protect them either. And a godless nation, a heathen nation, a lawless nation, by that point in time, they'll be worried about more than just militias. Your militias will be something that you will be forming yourself to help protect that tribal community that you've created, for your preparation land, your compounds that you've all created. By that point in time, you'll be creating your own quick reactionary forces just to protect the perimeter of your, I guess you could say, your area of operations that you're in. Don't worry, folks. Those days are coming. If we don't stop it, those days are coming. Well, back to what I was saying. At the time of the Shays Rebellion, the Militia Act of 1792 specified a federal force to be created to put down rebellions. It required men enrolled in the militia to provide... did you hear that? In the militia, a federal force to be created to put down a rebellion, a militia. To provide himself... This is what you had to do if you're going to enroll into the militia. You had to be able to provide yourself with a good musket or firelock, a sufficient bayonet and belt, two spare flints, and a knapsack, a pouch with a box therein, to contain not less than 24 cartridges, suited to the bore of his musket or firelock. Each cartridge should contain a proper quantity of powder and ball, or with a good rifle, knapsack, shot pouch, and powder horn, 20 balls suited to the bore of his rifle, and a quarter of a pound of powder, and shall appear so armed, accoutred, and provided when called out to the exercise or into service. So you didn't just have to have a rifle. You had to have ammunition. And you didn't just have to have a rifle and ammunition. You had to have the correct rifle and the correct ammunition to go with it. Oh, and by the way, also a bayonet, because sometimes guns don't fire. Sometimes bullets don't go bang. So we need a stabby, stabby, pokey, pokey 18 inches of hardened steel to disembowel your enemies. Because back then, not only were the ranges within 50 meters from each other, but then men charged one another with fixed bayonets and they clubbed each other to death, or they bayoneted each other and disemboweled each other. Or they then took their firearms and used them as wieldy melee objects, battering one another to death with buttstocks. It soon would then go to the belted knife, and from there, the fist and boot. And you know what all that means, ladies and gentlemen? It means violence begets violence. And if you are not so well armed and trained and have the sufficient needs and capabilities, when called upon, if you don't have these articles, you are useless to the community. I will say this. America, we have grown since the 1700s. We have advanced ourselves through technology, but not through very much. We have our techno gadgets and all that good stuff, but men back then knew how to hunt properly. They knew how to track animals. They knew various different forms of communication. They knew woodsmanship, which is a big thing for me, is woodsmanship. So much that has been lost that our young people, and to many adults in my range, in their mid-30s and up, don't understand. They have not learned. And when caught in a very harsh time, They just may not have the mental capability or the endurance mentally or physically to survive, let alone, we're not even talking about a conflict yet. We're just talking about like a really bad storm. But back then, in the 18th century, you were supposed to have arms. You were required. It was expected that you had a form of not just self-defense, but a form of offense. Because sometimes we're not always on the defensive. Sometimes we are on the offensive. And that does not, that people don't like to talk about that, because then it makes you look like the aggressor. Well, no, sometimes you have to take the fight to the enemy. Anyways, when the Second Amendment was written, its meaning was clear to anybody who understood the English language. Now, what I'm about to read to you, I pulled up, let me find the source because it's brilliant. That's right. The reference from this is the supremecourt.gov. All right, so we're going to hear from the Supreme Court as to why owning guns makes sense. All right, let's begin. When the Second Amendment was written, its meaning was clear to anybody who understood the English language. And it is clear today, in point of fact, if you understand the historical usage. It doesn't even use words that are very big. From What the Second Amendment Means book, quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You know, before I go any further, I just, do you know any other words for shall not? As in don't do it, as in you can't, it's not lawful, it's our God-given right to have this form of protection? Somebody needs to remind our president that. Continuing, it is amazing the amount of debate that exists about the meaning of 27 words written in plain and fairly modern English. Yet the debate rages nonetheless. The misunderstanding at this point must surely be willful. When reading the Second Amendment with a proper knowledge of the English language, several things are quite clear. Firstly, the first part of the amendment is a dependent clause. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Okay. That is on its own meaningless. It is an incomplete thought. Therefore, it cannot be the primary message of the amendment. However, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed is an independent clause. It stands on its own as a complete thought, and it is the heart of the amendment. Secondly, it is clear that the Second Amendment does not grant the right to keep and bear arms, but it explicitly protects a right that is presupposed to exist. That it exists independent of the Constitution, and the amendment states that the state may not infringe upon this right. You have the right to breathe air. You have the right to bear arms. Finally, from reading both the Second Amendment itself, additional contemporary writings of the Founding Fathers, including the Federalist Papers, and taking into account the recent history of the time, it is obvious that the Second Amendment was written with the express intent of preventing the state from infringing on the right to keep and bear arms. To maintain an armed populace in the event either a foreign invasion or if the U.S. government itself became tyrannical. Yet the point is still argued and debated, and the meaning of words are strained. It is argued that well-regulated means that the state has the authority to write whatever regulations it wishes to restrict arms. It in fact means to put in proper working order. and describes the condition of the militia, not the right to keep and bear arms. This is in accordance with the desire to maintain civilian control over armed forces. That this usage is not common parlance today does not change the meaning of the words as they were written. The Constitution is a contract, and contracts do not change meaning based on modern usage of words present in the historical document. They must be adjudicated in accordance with the meaning of words and expressions in use at the time that they were written. It is argued that only the militia have the right to keep and bear arms, and that the National Guard satisfies the requirement of the militia. This argument is erroneous on several counts. 1. The militia requirement is patently false, as it presumes that the right to keep and bear arms is held by the people as a whole rather than individually, and that the militia satisfies this. Nowhere in the Constitution, including the Bill of Rights, is a right held by the people exclusively a collective right rather than an individual right. It is irrational, then, to assume that the Second Amendment is suddenly an exclusively collective right. If the Founding Fathers had intended for only the militia to have arms, they would simply have written, "The right of the militia to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." That isn't what they chose to write, is it? Even if the previous point were not true, Title 10 of the U.S. Code defines the militia as 10 U.S.C. Code 246-Militia, Composition and Classes. The militia of the United States consists of all able-bodied males at least 17 years of age and except as provided in Section 313 of Title 32 under 45 years of age who are or who have made a declaration of intention to become citizens of the United States and of female citizens of the United States who are members of the National Guard. The classes of the militia are the organized militia, which consists of the National Guard and the Naval Militia, and the unorganized militia, which consists of the members of militia who are not members of the National Guard or the Naval Militia. It is argued that the Second Amendment only protects muskets. It is false, it is fraudulent. And in the first place, there is no rational interpretation of the Second Amendment in which it applies only to arms which existed when it was written. There are no such constraints written within the amendment, nor anywhere else in the Constitution. No other right protected in the Bill of Rights is so constrained. Does the First Amendment protect only speech produced by a movable type of printing press? Of course it doesn't. It applies to technologies never dreamed of by the Founding Fathers, speech proliferated via telephones and the internet. In the second place, nowhere in the Second Amendment does it say musket. It says arms, without condition or restraint. And again, arms clearly does not refer to human anatomy, leaving only the martial definition, that being weapons, ammunition, or armaments, and I'll add to that, helmets and ballistic vests. And wouldn't you know it, the Supreme Court agrees from the Heller case, quote, "We found the argument that only those arms in existence in the 18th century are protected by the Second Amendment. Not merely is that wrong, but bordering on the frivolous." 554 U.S. at 582. Instead, we held that the Second Amendment extends prima facie to all instruments that constitute bearable arms, even those that were not in existence at the time of the founding. All of this, of course, is in addition to the fact that repeating firearms did, in fact, exist. For example, the Puckle gun and the crew-served manually operated flintlock revolver. You can find this at the reference of the supremecourt.gov/opinions. And do your own research on this, but history doesn't lie to us. The Supreme Court has told us we have the right to keep and bear arms, not the government-sponsored single-shot pistol or rifle or shotgun. But there's a method here. They want to take our guns. They want to take our guns because you know what happens after they take our guns? The population dies or you become enslaved. That's what history tells us. But are we going to repeat it? Can we stop it? Might I remind you that the Tree of Liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. Thomas Jefferson to William Stephen Smith, 1787. I want you to think about this, ladies and gentlemen. You have the time now to prepare. Please visit Bob Griswold, ready-made resources. Get some night vision, get some protective equipment. Continue to buy your food, get some water purifiers, get you a generator, make sure your gas cans are filled up. We're in for one hell of a ride. We are in a preeminent invasion of Russia to Ukraine, which I can only assume something is going to happen. False flag or God knows what. To all my friends, to all my brothers and sisters out there in the soon-to-be post-apocalyptic America, I'm Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.